All right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. But today on the show, we are continuing a special episode series for the end of the decade, not doing the thing that we usually do on the show, but instead looking back at the last 10 years in film, and we are today looking at film scores. Those of you who listen to the show regularly should know by now that composing music for film is my main thing. That's what I've done for the last decade of my life. It's the career path I've been following, only to be upended by becoming a podcaster and dedicating all of my time to this podcast and the other two podcasts that I produce. But I am a film music composer, and so this list is a big deal for me, and it was really, really fun to put together. It was also great to get my buddy TJ Cross back on the show. He hasn't been on in a while, but he also is a film music composer, and we talk about, you know, music and composing and all that kind of stuff all the time. So it was great to have him be able to be on this episode with me and talk about these scores. So we've got a great conversation coming up for you. I want to remind you, as always, make sure to subscribe to Piecing It Together on your podcast app of choice. You can, of course, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and on Podchaser. You can follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. Join the Facebook group Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces. And, you know, check out our website, piecingpod.com. That's a great thing to do, too. So, without any further ado, I'm really excited for this conversation, so let's just jump right into it. Our picks for the top 10 film scores of this decade. All right, so back with us today. It's been a long, long time, but my buddy TJ Cross is here with us. How's it going, TJ?
How's it going, buddy?
Good. I'm really excited to do this. Yeah. We're going to talk about film scores, and the both of us have we're film music composers, aren't we?
Former. I'm a former, but yeah. You're still rocking it, right?
I'm still in it. But I mean, I guess most of my time is podcasting. I'm a podcaster that also does this still.
Yeah, but I'm a recovering film composer who now takes photos.
Well, that's probably a smart thing, I think. But this is going to be fun. We're going to talk about our favorite film scores of the decade. And I was thinking while we were putting this together, other than the last couple of weeks of going back and forth planning this thing, we talk like teenage girls on Google Hangouts, like constantly all day long texting each other. But do we talk about film scores regularly?
Never. Yeah. We talk about movies and games and like pop culture, but I don't think we ever actually talk about film. We'll talk about it like when we watch a movie, we'll be like, oh yeah, that score is good, but we don't really like go into it.
Yeah, and it was funny, like, researching for this, because I'll just tell the people listening at home, I did more research for this episode than I ever do in a regular episode of Piecing It Together, which is so ridiculous, but I listened to way more film scores over the last few weeks than I ever listened to, and I love film scores, but I usually don't listen to them that much outside of the actual movies and really enjoying them in the, you know, in the movie.
Not to get to carriage in front of the horse too much, but did you notice, like, trends? I noticed a lot of trends. Sure. It was kind of weird. Sometimes I was like, I couldn't tell, like, individual scores from one another. I couldn't tell, like, individual composers. It's, you definitely, like, going from 2010 to 2019, you can definitely see, like, a trend line, right?
Yeah, like, it's absolutely true. And it's funny, because part of the time while researching for this, I was listening to full scores, like, you know, through the whole thing. Part of the time I was listening to like a playlist I made on Shuffle, and definitely I would not know what one I was on when it would shuffle one score. I'd be like, I don't have any clue what movie this is from. But yeah, it's true. There's trends that happen all the time.
I'm excited though, because it was really fun. I mean, I also went in for like 2 weeks. I listened to nothing day in and day out, all these scores. And I was just like, it was a fun project. I'm really excited to hear what your top 10 is.
Awesome. Well, let's jump into it. So we're going to do top 10 back and forth, classic top 10 list style. And then at the end, we'll jump into some honorable mentions. So let's start with your number 10.
The Revenant. Ryuichi Sakamoto and Alsva Noto. I think. Or 2015.
Yeah. There's that a lot of foreign names on this list. We're gonna butcher all over the place.
Totally gonna butcher it. And really just wanna like note, we didn't really have a hard and fast rule here, but basically I think it was either can I listen to it as just like an album or what did it do for the film? And obviously The Reverence, I think it's a fantastic film. And there's a lot of silence, and I think it's pretty impressive what they did musically with that film. So that's why I give it my number 10.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely great score. It is not one, though, that I went back to while doing these last couple of weeks of re-listening, although it was one on my mind as one I probably should go back to, because I remember when the movie came out, I was like, oh yeah, this is great, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm glad you're bringing it up. Definitely a good one to keep on the list. And you know what? One other note before I move to my number 10, you just said about rules or whatever.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention that one thing that will disqualify a score from our top 10 list is if it's using pre-existing themes.
Yeah.
Originated by another composer, kind of much like I believe the Academy has that rule as well for the Oscars. So that's one thing to keep in mind, everybody listening at home. My number 10, this one, probably not on a lot of top 10 lists of film scores, but it's one that always stood out to me. And I happened to remember as I was going through some of the movies that came out in this decade. It is Mud, from director Jeff Nichols, scored by David Wingo and with songs, instrumental songs by The Dirty Three. I love like a good like rootsy Americana, you know, guitar based score, and this is for that kind of a sound. I think my favorite one of this decade. Interestingly enough, it happens a lot more in TV now, I think, than it does in movies. Like you get stuff like Breaking Bad and you know, that kind of thing. But this one just really cool. There's a track on here called Tom Blankenship that is just, oh my god, it's so cool, and it's just, you know, just that really dirty Americana kind of sound, and I love it. So, and really underseen movie, I think. It's such a good movie. I love Jeff Nichols.
So all of this research, and can I tell you, I don't think I listened to Mud.
Yeah, no,
I'm telling you,
I don't think people think about that movie much. So yeah, that doesn't necessarily surprise me. So.
That's interesting.
All right, what do you got for number 9?
So I don't know if this one's going to shock you or not, whether it's high up on the list or even on my list at all, but A Ghost Story by Daniel Hart. Mm-hmm. 2017 movie. I love the movie. I think the movie didn't get enough viewership because I think people were confused what the movie was. Mm-hmm. But I think, again, this is one of those scores where it was kind of gritty and dark and like instrumental in the sense that like you can hear when the bow hits the string and it's just like rough and grinding. And I really, really loved it. And I think it really elevated the film a lot. Again, not a score I can actually listen to like on a Spotify list, but one that I think helped move the story forward for the film. So yeah, Ghost Story by Daniel Hart, 2017.
Spoiler alert, but it is in my top 5. We'll get to it when we get up to it. But yeah, it is.
He has taste.
Fantastic score, and you just said about listening to it on a Spotify playlist. I had this incredibly dark, melancholy music playing while I was at the gym many times over the last couple of weeks, which is so weird.
How does that inspire you to like get your cardio up?
So weird, but yeah, fantastic, and I'll talk about it a little more later on in the list.
Nice. Where are you at, number 9?
Number 9 is Emile Mosseri's The Last Black Man in San Francisco, which is the newest score on my list. That's from this year, 2019. just a beautiful melancholy score that it really this is one of the most the scores that bring me back to the feeling of the movie when I'm listening to it separately. Like I completely am just transported back to the movie's feeling, and just that, again, not to use the word melancholy too much, but I mean, it just fits so perfectly.
Your whole list is going to be melancholy. Watch.
Yeah, I know. There's so many of that. So many films with that are going to be on this. But yeah, no, fantastic. And then also just that cover of, you know, San Francisco, that's kind of the centerpiece of it. It's just so freaking beautiful. I love this score.
Nice. Wasn't on my list. Not an honorable mention, but I actually do appreciate the score. So, nice choice.
Beautiful. What do you got up next?
Our tastes are so different. So, because I like to walk around the streets of New York depressed and hating my life, I need that inspiration. And this is the only one where you're probably going to go, okay, well, I expected one of these on here. Well, maybe two. Sure. It's a John Williams score from 2011. It's War Horse. I think it's probably, in my opinion, his last, for lack of a better term, great score. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm a little baby. I'm the person who sits in his room listening to, like, soundtracks and dreams of a better life and cries himself to sleep. So, War Horse does it for me because it's got that old Americana. Trust me, if you watch any trailers for any movie, you've heard this score a billion times because they use it in trailer music all the time.
Definitely.
So John Williams, War Horse. It's the only John Williams score on here for the last decade. Got to give him a shout out. And that's it. War Horse.
Awesome. Great pick. I forgot that was this decade, but it certainly was. And
that happened a lot, right? You notice when you're researching, I was like, wow. First of all, I think we were talking on Hangouts a few weeks ago, and I kept calling out films that were like from 2001 and 2002. And I'm like, wow, it's so hard to measure time anymore the older you get.
I know. The decades are strange things. It's happening a lot in all of the little end of decade lists I'm making. I'm like, wow, that was this decade? Like, man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, my number eight, following up Last Black Man in San Francisco with another A24 film. It's the weirdest score on my list, I think. It's Swiss Army Man from 2016. Oh. Andy Hull and Robert McDowell. It's just this bizarre a cappella score. Yeah. All the instruments are done with people's voices.
It's fantastic.
And it's so crazy.
It's so good.
I love it. And I don't know. It's so perfect in the way that it evokes the mind state of this guy lost, you know, stuck on the island with his dead body. And I mean, it's just, it's great. It's so weird. And it's so strangely beautiful, you know?
So supportive of the film too. Like that film is so, so bizarre.
Yes.
And it fits perfect. I 100% agree with you. Not on my list, but I 100% agree with you. It's a fantastic score.
And I love Paul Dano singing when he's saying crazy.
That's Paul Dano's?
Fucking crazy. It is him singing. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
That rules. Well, what do you got next? Number seven.
So I'm curious, how many Academy Award winning scores did you actually pick in your top 10? Do you have a couple or none?
I think one, actually. Okay. Maybe two. Right. I didn't double check that some of them, you know, might have won and I forgot, but at least one.
So I have two. This is one of them. Number seven. This one might shock you, might not. La La Land by Justin Hurwitz.
Okay.
It won the Academy Award in 2016. What I've noticed as I was doing some research is I mean, we don't have to get into how the Academy Awards, I'm pretty sure the Academy Award listeners listen like 2 minutes of music and they're like, yeah, that's the best film, so it gets the best score.
Right.
But this one, I mean, it's just fantastic. It depends on what you think of La La Land.
Right,
I personally love La La Land, and I think this score is just dead on. And I can also listen to this on my Spotify list. Literally makes you want to go out and dance Dream of Old Hollywood. Love it. It's fantastic. It's very classic. It's jazzy. It's awesome. The piano. So I tend to not actually anymore. When I was younger, I used to love piano-based scores. And this has a lot of instrumental, but it's very heavy on the piano. But for whatever reason, this one, it grabs me. I love it. It gets the feel perfect. It's just a fantastic score.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. It, whether or not you like that score definitely hinges on whether or not you like La La Land. 100%. And some people just really hate that movie. I think it's great, too. And I think it's definitely a great score. It's my favorite Justin Horowitz score. I like it a lot more than First Man and stuff
First
like
Man,
that.
Yeah. And but, you know, as you do these lists, Dave, I'm sure you looked at, like I did. I was like, what are other people saying are top 20, top 25 of the decade?
Sure.
Yeah. And First Man popped up all over the place, and I didn't get it. I was like, I agree with you 100%. This is a much better work than First Man.
Absolutely. All right. Well, my number 7 is Bear McCreary's 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yes! Bear McCreary's the man! I love Bear McCreary. Great score.
Rules. I love this score. It's just total like old school sounding. Like it's so mysterious. It at times it almost feels like one of those like 80s blockbuster type movies that we love. And it, you know, it evokes a little bit of Danny Elfman at times. And it's just like, it's so great at keeping that mystery going. And it kind of, it's so playful at times that it almost kind of adds to like the nervous dark comedy underneath it all, you know. And it's I love this score. It's definitely one of the ones I've listened to the most since it came out, as far as when I do listen to scores.
It's also a fantastic movie.
Oh yeah.
What a performance.
Yeah, definitely. And then one last thing about it is it's a score that starts out, the first track is like probably my favorite track on it, but from there it just keeps getting better almost from there. It's like, it's definitely a score that really progresses and just, you really feel it as it's going through.
Bear McCreary needs more work and film. He does a lot of TV work. I mean, he's a well-off composer, but I think he's underrated. I think people ignore him too much. I think he's fantastic.
Absolutely. So we're up to number 6. What do you got?
All right. This one, so this movie just, first of all, the movie it's associated with, I love. It came out in 2018. I'm shocked that when I saw the movie originally, I didn't really pick up on the score, which should be like a red flag, but I listened to the score on, YouTube. I think I just like original scores on YouTube and loved it. Rewatched the film to double check to see if like, did I have a problem with the score to the film? And I didn't, I just missed it. It's fantastic. If Beale Street Could Talk by Nicholas Brittle, 2018. That score is just amazing to me. There's scores that are character driven, and there are scores that are atmospheric driven. And it's rare to find some scores that are melodic that are still based on atmosphere. And that's what he does with this movie. And I think he just soaks it up. I love it. I think it's fantastic. It's my number 6.
Beautiful. Another one that's going to be in my top 5. So
oh, good.
I love that score.
We're aligning. Nice.
Yeah, Nicholas Brittle is definitely like one of my favorite composers working right now. I mean, just absolutely beautiful, the stuff he does. And that film is beautiful, and that score is just absolutely fantastic. It was my favorite of 2018 when it came out.
Nice. Yeah. All right, you're number 6.
Number 6, you knew that this was going to be on my list, I'm sure. And that is Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross's The Social Network.
I'm shocked it's not number one for you.
I figured
actually,
you thought it
blown
would be.
My mind that it's this far down the list.
Right?
Wow.
I know.
You
yeah.
went. I remember when that film came out. You first of all, you went like nuts about the score. I do remember having mm-hmm. conversations. First of all, do you remember what year Social Network was? I can't remember.
2010. It was right at the beginning.
Right. Okay. This is why yeah. you loved this score. I'm shocked that it's fallen down so far for you.
Yeah, I don't know why that is necessarily, but I mean, the Social Network, I think maybe if I had rewatched it a bunch of times over these last, 10 years, maybe the score would be even higher up on my list. But, and then also another thing is I kind of feel about this score a lot like last decade with Hans Zimmer and The Dark Knight, how as a composer, this has become the thing that everybody's like, can you just do Hand Covers, Bruce?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's like, yeah. So that's kind of annoying a little bit. And maybe that brings it down a little bit as well. Because, I mean, I think this is honestly the most influential score on the list. I mean, this is the sound of this decade is what they created with this score.
100%.
Yeah, but I mean, it's fantastic though. Going back to re-listen to it, it's been a while since I listened to it, and I mean, it is as great as it was back then, and it works so well in the movie, and it also is one of the best Nine Inch Nails albums, basically. Like, if you just take it as it is, it just happens to be instrumental.
Interesting. Yeah, it totally changed the trend line for music for this decade. 100%. It was super influential. I think people think more about the guitar tracks, but really what he did with, and I don't mean this as a knock, I really mean this mm-hmm. as a positive, what he did with like moody pads and sure. like he reinvented, like, because before this, when people used any sort of pad or any sort of just basic tone, it was just, that's what it was. But he really, and I don't know if it's more Trent or Atticus, but what they were able to get out of that is amazing. I have, the reason, unfortunately, is it's a victim of its own success to me. The reason it's not on my top 10, but I do mention it. But I think it's a victim of its own success to where everything ended up being what that was. And I don't think that's very fair to them, but unfortunately it affected me and my listening to music.
Exactly.
And I was just like, I just can't anymore. And that's probably not fair, but you can't deny how influential that score is and how perfect that score worked for that film.
It's also pretty damn inspiring for someone like me who, wants to do film music, but is also, at his core, an electronic music composer. And
right.
So it's pretty awesome that score took off the way it did for me and my career,
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So we are into our top five. What do you
yeah.
got for number five?
All right. So these scores end up being the ones that are on my Spotify or are on my playlist or whatever I use these days. I think I still use Google Music, believe it or not. Whatever I listen to. This is what happens when you get old. I make Dave talk on Hangouts, which he hates every day. He tells me he can't stand that I make him use Hangouts.
Such a pain in the ass.
Yep. So you might not know this score. You might not even know this film. Mm-hmm. We're going to get some female love in here. I think she's the only one on here. Rachel Portman's
Good.
Belle. You know the movie Belle from 2013?
I remember it. I don't think I ever saw it, though.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't do well at all. I mean, maybe it did well overseas. Didn't do that well here. And this wasn't nominated for anything. It is a classic. If you know anything about what I like, TJ Cross music, it is the melodramatic love themes. It's the epic old style John Williams type of score that Rachel Portman has written some amazing scores that I think get overlooked. Talk a lot. Like she's written some mm-hmm. amazing stuff. And this just, I mean, Dave's a cold-hearted SOB, but if you have a heart, You're gonna tear up with Belle, man. She writes some amazing music. So number five on my playlist, Belle.
Awesome. I that's something that really kind of annoyed me as I was making my list. I was like, God damn it, I don't have any female composers. Like, how is that possible?
Because there's not many. I think she's the only one who's super successful. To be,
I know.
Frank.
I was almost gonna squeeze Joker in here just to get
to
one. Yeah, but and I did love the Joker score, but I mean, I haven't heard the Belle score, but I should go give it a listen one of these days.
Where you at, number five?
Yeah, my number five, one that we've already talked about, A Ghost Story, nice. Daniel Hart. Mm-hmm. You know, the only other thing I want to add to that is the song that Casey Affleck's character sings in the movie. Awesome song.
So good.
And the way that it's perfectly just meshed into the score, even though the score is so freaking dark, like the rest of the time, it's beautiful. I love it.
Perfect. Wow.
Let's jump into your number four.
I love this score. And I think he's probably, you know, they say John Williams is the Beethoven. If John Williams is the Beethoven, this man is the Mozart, the Chopin. Morricone's the Hateful Eight. That score, dude, is just butter. It's so
Hell
good.
Yeah.
The Hateful, I mean, that's just a fun, great, gritty, old school score. It's so good. There's nothing else I could say except it's that spaghetti western amplified by 10. Love the score. It's amazing that he can write that like Americana sound so well, since he's, you know, not from here. He's Italian.
Right.
It's just, you know, I think in because Morricone wasn't going to travel over here for, I forget what award, it won the Academy Award, by the way. I think it was the Academy Award when Tarantino came up for the acceptance, and he like basically bashed every film composer. He's like, this is one of my favorite composers, not one of these, and this is not verbatim, but not one of these just film composers. He says it like the only way Tarantino can say it, right? Like just totally disgusted with film composers. Like this is the Beethoven or Mozart of our time, you know, and he's, it's disgusting that you guys haven't given him awards in the past, blah, blah, blah. But of course I could, he makes some sort of statement like, of course I could create the movie that's the perfect recipe for his sauce or some, whatever only Tarantino can do.
He's,
but anyway,
so ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. It's so good. Tarantino's the man. The Hateful Eight, it's just, I mean, it's awesome. That's the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought about having it on my list. I did not include it, but fantastic score. Absolutely. Love it. And I love that movie as well.
Nice.
Number four for me is If Beale Street Could Talk, which we already talked about. But yeah, just an absolutely beautiful score. The cut, Agape, is, you know, with those fluttering.
Yeah.
You know, oh, so beautiful.
That's the track from that score for sure.
Yeah, so damn good. But yeah, I don't think I really have much else to say other than how beautiful that damn score is. Why don't we get into our top three? What's your number three?
This one might shock you. Or maybe it won't. Okay. I don't think it's going to be on your list. I mean, we're in the top three. I don't think this is in your top three. But okay. I can't believe, speaking of this decade, there have been a couple composers who have had an amazing decade. Desplat being one of them. I'm shocked. I don't think we've named one score of his yet, right?
Right.
He's only on here once. He's made like 100 scores this decade. The Tree of Life. Do you remember that movie from 2011?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I don't know how I necessarily feel about the film itself. That's a different topic. Mm-hmm. But that score is just, I mean, it's a beautiful film, right? It's a beautiful score. And there's really not much else to say except it's a beautiful score. And that's why it's in my top three.
Absolutely. I have not heard that one in a long time. Since I saw the movie in the theater, I did not go back and listen to it. But I do love Desplat, and he will be... he'll be represented on my list little higher up. So
nice. All right.
Yeah. So top three. Wow. Here we go. I believe that this is one of your favorite composers, Michael Giacchino.
Not really, right? But okay.
No. Okay.
No, it's okay. Well, what score? Oh my! It's the one you've been telling me about. I know it's gonna be. Go ahead.
It is 2017's War for the Planet of the Apes. Is, in my mind, one of the best blockbuster type you know, adventure action movies of the decade and one of the best scores of the decade. It's the movie itself, part of what makes it so great. Why am I cheating?
Because there are themes from previous Planet of the Apes movies that he did not score that are in that film. Just FYI, because just want to say this would have been in my top 10 if that wasn't the case. I thought we agreed, buddy.
We did agree, and I looked it up, and I thought that he didn't actually go to any of the themes. He only went to some of the like the instrument choices, like to evoke some of the original themes. But from what I was reading, I thought he didn't actually use the themes. Yeah,
look that up. So, okay. Well, in that case, that would have just FYI. That would have something. It would have been in my top 10. I 100% agree with you. It's fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah. Hopefully, I'm right about that. But that's what I got from my little bit of googling. But yeah, he didn't. As far as I know, he didn't actually use any of the themes. It's just he's using the same instrument choices that like evoke that same feeling. But yeah, this score just oh my god, it's so freaking big and. Oh my god, it's so beautiful. And you know, he gets, you're saying about Morricone, like some of that like spaghetti western sound, but then it goes into big classic orchestral film scores, and it's just fantastic. And just as surprising of a score as the movie is surprising of a blockbuster, because it is so unlike any other.
It's a fantastic film.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's a fantastic film. It's so just unlike anything else. And big stretches of just, subtitled, like in a big blockbuster, like what? And you know what I mean? Yeah. And then being a Western and all. And it surprises as much as the film itself does.
When I listen to that score, it's funny. You're a huge fan of Peter Jackson's King Kong, right?
Yeah.
You love that. I always think, I was like, man, if he would have scored, I mean, there was a lot of crazy stuff that happened with that score. I think what's his face had to score it in like 2 weeks. But I always listen to the Planet of the Apes score, and I'm like, I'm sorry, War for the Planet of the Apes, right?
Right.
And I'm like, that's what I wish that Kong score would have been. But it's an amazing. I 100% agree with you. It's incredible.
Awesome. All right, what's number two for you?
So, I think if there was a replacement for John Williams, it's this man. Most people assumed in the past that your boy from the previous selection, Giacchino, would have been like the replacement for Williams, but I think John Powell is the actual John Williams replacement, and it's How to Train Your Dragon. Nominated in 2010 for an Academy Award. It lost out, but it's very rare, except for maybe a random Disney film here and there, to win an Academy Award or even be nominated. It is pure 1980s John Williams orchestral. Let's go for a ride. It's fun. It's big. It's epic. The themes are gorgeous. It's romantic. I mean, I listen to the score probably at least once or twice a week for the past 9 years. I'm really in love with the score. So How to Train Your Dragon, John Powell, it's everything I wish I could have been as a composer. It's incredible.
I thought it was going to be your number one, quite frankly.
Oh, you knew that was going to, okay.
Yeah.
My number one's going to blow your mind.
I know how much you love that. And so, yeah, but I actually went, and even though I've only seen the third How to Train Your Dragon movie, I never saw the first two, but I actually went and listened to the score just because I know how much you love it. And it's great. It's so good.
So where are you at number two, buddy?
Number two is the electronic score that beat The Social Network for me. And for a while, until I went back and started re-listening to all this stuff, I had it at number one for quite a while. It is Ben Salisbury and Geoff Barrow's 2014 score for Ex Machina. Such a good movie. When that score goes beautiful, it is beautiful. When it goes freaking horrifying, it just makes your skin crawl. And, you know, you just said every John Palby and everything you wanted to be as a composer. This score is what I wish I had the opportunity to do. Something like this. Like, this is what I feel my ultimate score would be like. You know what I mean?
I'm actually ashamed of myself for not thinking of that film. That's a fantastic film, and that's another one I didn't actually listen to. I do remember watching that film, though, thinking, man, this score, like, really does, you know, the point of a score is to underscore a scene. It really does, like, support how freaking crazy of a film that is.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Absolutely. I love that movie, and I love that score. So we're in our number one. I'm really not sure what it's going to be, but for you, but,
do you have any guesses? Just like randomly, any guesses?
Oh man. I don't know. I really don't know.
I am probably one of the only people on the planet who actually one loves this movie. Mm-hmm. But two, this score, it's funny because, you know, I'm not, so I think, you know, again, these are opinion, personal favorites, right? Like, I don't, I think there can be many arguments that say, how the heck can you put this at number one? All right, I'm building this up a little bit because, you know, it really is about what it means to you. And it's really based off of one theme, one melody, one melodic tune that's kind of spread throughout the entire 36 hours that long this film is. Tom Tykwer, Johnny Klimek, and Ranald Hale, I think I'm saying that right, 2012's Cloud Atlas. Yeah, you probably weren't expecting that, right?
I was not expecting that, and I never saw the movie, and I don't know the score.
You never saw Cloud Atlas?
I never saw Cloud Atlas. No, I missed it.
This is the problem. Everyone, no one really liked this film, and it, you know, I loved this film. It's a beautiful, I urge you, I challenge you to watch this film, seriously. I think you'll find, I think it's one of those films that also ages well. I think it wasn't very good in 2012. Watch it again. It just gets better and better. Anyway, the score, man, let me tell you, I listen to this every single day of my life. I've listened to this every single day since 2012, every single day. It is beautiful, evoking. As a composer, it's the melody I wish I could have written. It's just, it's gorgeous. I am head over heels in love with it. It's probably my favorite score in the past 20 years. Mm. So Cloud Atlas, man, check it out. It's fantastic.
Well, now I feel like I have homework. I need to watch it and hear this score because I'm very curious for sure.
Can I take a guess at your number one?
Sure.
Inception.
No.
The Handmaiden.
No.
Well, I don't know that. Grand Hotel Budapest?
Yes.
I knew it because I knew the director. I knew if there was going to be a score, that had to be it. Sorry to interrupt.
I said Desplat was going to be later in my list, so. This score, you were just saying that, you know, that you hum that melody or whatever from Cloud Atlas. I walk around humming the Grand Budapest Hotel music all the time. This music is so much fun. It's just, I love it. It's so different from anything that I normally, you know, would be into.
Yeah, man, this is outside of what I would expect you to listen to. That's crazy.
Yeah, and it was not at the top of my list. It was probably in my top 10, but it wasn't at the top of my list until I went back and started listening to it over these last couple of weeks and realizing I've been singing this, like I sing to my dogs, like, you know, and I just sing to little melodies. I've been singing this music all decade long. Like, this music is so ingrained in my head. Like, I love this score so much. It's also my favorite Wes Anderson of this decade, you know, but it is such a fun score. The there's a recurring theme that comes between three of the tracks, Daylight Express to Lutz, Night Train to Nezleblad, and the Cold-Blooded Murder of Deputy Vilmos Kovacs. I wrote all that down.
Nice.
but it's like a recurring thing that goes between the three that is so awesome. And in each one, they change up the instrumentation but keep the melody. And it's just so fun. And I remember watching it and just each time that melody would come back, but it would be like done in a little bit different way, I would just have this big dumb grin on my face. You know what I mean?
It's a fantastic score.
Here it comes.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's so different. I mean, it's perfect Wes Anderson score, but it's different than a lot of scores out there. 100%. It's fantastic. Spoiler, it's in my honorable mentions.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, let's jump into some of those honorable mentions. So you got this one in there.
Yeah, that's my one. We'll just go back and forth. That's one of my honorable mentions. What's one of yours?
Okay, well, my first honorable mention, this is the biggest one, because honestly, if it wasn't for the whole rule we had about existing themes, it probably would have been my number one on the list, and that is Lorne Balfe's Mission Impossible Fallout score.
That's so good. This would have been in my top 10 as well.
Yeah, it's my favorite score of the decade, honestly. Like, everything else, push it to number 2 on down to 11, I guess. But it's so freaking good. It's just disqualified because of that classic theme, Lalo Schifrin. But it's so freaking good. I love that score.
I got one for you that I thought was interesting in my research, and that is Hans Zimmer's Inception. Because I unfortunately didn't write down the year. Inception's like 2011, I think. Maybe I'm
that
wrong.
That sounds about right.
So I remember like Time was like, you know, Time was the big track from there, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that they big, to use one of your words, melancholy piano thing that builds up and it just gets epic and you just want to freaking like, you know, blow stuff up. But I watched the movie, dude, like about like maybe 6 months ago. Just because we wanted to rewatch it together, and the score did not. Here's what's interesting: the album is amazing, but when you listen to the score with the movie, it kind of I think Nolan made some edits or something. It just doesn't work. It's really weird. I don't know how to explain it, but it's really weird. It does not support the film the way the album does as just a single listen. So, I had to bump it. I still think Zimmer's probably one of his best works ever. But in the Inception score is on my honorable mentions.
Awesome. My next honorable mention, I'm gonna just put two together. I felt so bad for not having this guy in my top 10 because he's one of my favorites, and of course we lost him this decade. Johan Johansson's Sicario and Mandy.
Oh yeah,
he is so freaking good, and he honestly, Sicario would probably be the next one on my list, like 11, and then Mandy would be somewhere in my top 20. But the Beast from Sicario is probably like the single best cue of the decade. You know what I mean? It's just so fucking crazy good.
It's really sad that we lost him because he was really on the up and up. He was starting to pump him out like crazy. It's a shame. Yeah. I'm going to give you my last one on my honorable mention. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to give one and then one more real quick. Life of Pi, Michael Donna. It actually won the Academy Award.
Yeah, that's right.
I think it's beautiful. It's a kind of a hard listen as a solo album. But I actually am one of the few people I think who actually really liked Life of Pi. I've actually read the book. I thought the film was an amazing accomplishment considering that book is like one of those books you don't think you can, like Lord of the Rings was, like you don't think you can make it a movie. And his score was perfectly supportive. And just want to throw this in here. I haven't seen the movie. I think you may have. The Handmaiden?
I've never seen it. No, okay. I know a lot of raves about it.
So it was on all, like it was literally on everyone's top 10 list of the decade. Mm-hmm. So I gave it a listen. Because I didn't see the film, I didn't think it was fair to just be like, oh, well, this is on someone's top 10. I'm going to put it in mine. But I did listen to the score and it sounds really interesting. Jo Yong Wook, I believe his name is. So The Handmaiden is my other one.
Awesome. I got a couple more. First up, Mad Max Fury Road, Junkie XL.
Listen, there's a one guitar riff in there that is the greatest guitar riff ever. It's when that guy is literally jamming on the car going 150 miles an hour.
Hell
on that
yeah.
one. It's amazing. I agree with you. It's fantastic.
such a cool, awesome, heavy score. And then I noticed we didn't have any superhero movies on our list. So I just wanted to, not really the full scores, but the main themes from Man of Steel and Wonder Woman were both awesome, and also the main Avengers theme from Alan Silvestri, which I'm not sure if how far back that dates, but
I think it made a lot. I think it's 2010. Yeah. His main theme is the only theme out of all the Marvel superhero movies that actually sticks out. Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. And then lastly, I'll just really quickly blaze through them. I won't even describe them, but just other scores that I listened to in preparation. I listened to a bunch, but ended up not putting on my list. It Follows, Good Time, Apollo 11, Anomalisa, Aquaman, and Eighth Grade.
So. I'd add The Arrival. Did you listen to any of The Arrival stuff?
I did not. No, that would have been a good one.
Shocked it's not on
there
because it's depressing and dark and deep and sounds like something, you know, Dave would love.
That's true.
The Arrival, and I'll also add Jane Eyre. The new one was a romantic score, but you know, didn't make
my list.
Yeah,
beautiful. Well, this was freaking awesome. This is great. Yeah,
this was fun.
Talking about these, I loved researching it. I loved getting into these scores, and it's going to be interesting to see if I continue listening to this stuff a lot. Because I mean, honestly, I've been really enjoying just sitting around listening to scores for this past few weeks.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I'm curious to see what happens 2020. You know, what we're going to be at in next decade, where the scores are going. What's going to be the social network of the next decade, right?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and it's going to be interesting to see. And and it'll be interesting to see how it affects anything that we do if we're messing around making some music. I know you're gonna make a little bit of music, even if it's, you know, just something.
I'll whistle a tune.
Well, you better record that tune and send
it my
way to listen to.
Hi, this is Wax Trax Records here on 2909 South Decatur. We buy all your old 45s, your old albums, any type of music memorabilia. Also, we sell music memorabilia, albums, CDs, and a lot. Come on down to Wax Trax, 2909 South Decatur, or give me a call at 702-362-4300. Thank you very much.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about the top 10 film scores of the decade. To the composers and copyright holders of the music clips that I played, please don't sue me. I don't normally play clips on this show, but I just wanted to demonstrate your beautiful work. Let us know what you thought about the list, and if you had any major ones that we left out. You can, of course, tweet at us at PiecingPod. You can email me directly, bydavidrosen@gmail.com, or join the Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue these conversations about movies all the time, and we would love to have you there talking about movies with us. So thanks to TJ for being here. We'll have to get him back on again. And I'll, of course, be closing this out in a minute once I'm finished with my spiel with a piece of my music. But even though TJ says he's not making music anymore, you should go search for TJ Cross online and listen to some of his music, because he's fantastic and he's got a lot of great music out there. So go look him up. Great music. So that does it for today. We still have the top 10 films of 2019 and the top 10 films of the decade. And then we're also doing a list of top 10 future classics, movies from the decade that aren't necessarily our picks for favorite films, but films we think are going to live on and continue to be talked about 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now. So that's going to be a really interesting episode. But those are the other special episodes we have coming up, and other ones we've already done were the top 10 video games, actually top 20 video games, and top 10 TV shows. So a lot of special episodes to wrap up the year. A lot of work putting all these things together. So I hope you're all out there enjoying them. And as always, thank you so much for listening. We always love hearing what you think about the show. So make sure to leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. We do want to know what you're thinking. So let's wrap this thing up with a piece of my music. And of course, we're talking about film scores. So might as well close it up with a piece of my music from a film. I think a good one would be from a feature film that I scored like 10 years ago or something. It was a film called I Did, and it's a really great little independent drama about a marriage that's crumbling, which I love. I love working on dark stuff, and it certainly is dark. And I think it was a great score for me to work on because it really let me like stretch out and work on something big and with a the full scope of the thing. Like it was, you know, all me, beginning to end, 90-minute movie. And so I think it's a great film that lets me show off what I could do. So let's play a piece from the film I Did, and we'll be back with more Piecing It Together coming up next week.
and all points west.
All right, so let's just cut it there and just keep it rolling, and I'll just cut it out. Let's talk about Star Wars.
You're like a little DJ.
I know, right?
It's amazing.
You know what's funny? I talk more like this when I'm doing it with you than I do normally when I'm doing it with other people. I don't know why that
I feel
is.
Like I'm talking to Howard Stern sometimes.
I know. I noticed that the last time we did this, I was like, what am I doing? What is this character I'm playing?
Like, it's actually fantastic. I love it.